I'm Whitney Sweeney, President of the State Board of Education. I call the January 20th regular meeting to order. It is 5:04 p.m. This meeting is being held electronically pursuant to 29 Delaware Code Section 10006AE. The State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and the meeting links on January 13th, 2022 on the State Public Meeting Calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we conduct this meeting electronically. As a courtesy to others and to prevent unnecessary disruption, if you're logged in via the WebEx, please mute your microphone when you're not speaking. Members of the public should refrain from speaking until the time for public comment. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. The first opportunity is for comment related to the regulations that are in front of the board tonight. The second is reserved for general public comment near the end of the meeting. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was available via email prior to the meeting. If you didn't previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box now, and we can create a list of individuals that would like to speak. If you're only participating via phone and you'd like to make a verbal public comment, if you could log in via the meeting URL and type into the chat box. We ask that all members of the public use the chat box only to sign up for public comment or to make us aware of any technical difficulties. In order to maximize the effectiveness of this meeting, each board member should announce his or her name before speaking. Please remember to announce your name as you reply to others or to participate in the ongoing conversation. During the presentations, presenters will regularly pause and ask if any state board members have questions. Please don't speak until this time. During the presentation, presenters will clearly reference which document they're reviewing. When taking a vote on an item, I'll ask if there's a motion and a second, and will then conduct roll call votes. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of the meeting. So the first item is our roll call of state board members. But before we do that, I'd like to formally welcome, as all of the board, Dr. Mark Holodick, the Secretary of Education. Dr. Holodick was confirmed by the Delaware Senate last Wednesday, January 12th, and sworn in to begin his duties immediately. And we're going to hear more from him shortly. I know everyone is really looking forward to that opportunity. So first, Ms. Honor, if you could call the roll of state board members, please.
Mr. Brittingham.
Here.
Ms. Ferris.
Here.
Ms. Pfeiffer.
Here.
Mr. Lofink.
Here.
Dr. Noble.
Here.
Reverend Powell.
Present.
Mr. Rushton.
Present.
Ms. Sweeney.
Present.
Ms. Turner.
Present.
We have quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. Now, I'd also note that we have several other individuals are participating in today's call today. Of course, we do have Secretary Holodick or Mark, and we are nice to have a little more informal, and that's great for our dialogue as we go forward. Deputy Attorney Carla Jaros, State Board of Education Director Jenna Honor as well. And then we also have John Sheehan and Jim Simmons, who will be on our agenda kind of at the top. Now, the approval of the agenda is the first thing that's on here that is posted on January 13th. Are there any changes to the agenda? Is there a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting as presented?
Brittingham, make a motion to approve the agenda.
Lofink, second.
Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? The motion carries. The next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. The December 16th regular meeting minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any additions or deletions? Is there a motion to approve the December 16th regular monthly meetings as presented?
Lofink, so moved.
Wally Rushton, second.
Although I actually have to abstain because I had to leave the meeting early. So I know I made it through partway, but I'm not going to vote on that. So I'm going to abstain. And we do have one other individual that was not in attendance, Ms. Pfeiffer. So excluding Ms. Pfeiffer and I, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so we've got me and Ms. Pfeiffer that are abstaining. Next is the secretary's report. And typically, we've kind of moved our agenda around a little bit because we actually are very excited to welcome. And as I introduce you, I am going to use Secretary Holodick for everyone that is on the call. And as we go further, we'll be a little bit more informal. But I know we're all as a board very much looking forward to working with him. I feel like I'm talking about you when you're sitting right in front of me. And we're going to open up the floor. And I know that we as a board are looking forward to, you know, having a dialogue. But first, if you just wanted to give a little bit of background on yourself, I mean, certainly, you know, very well known in the education world for those of us that also might be on the phone. I think it's just really valuable to hear from you directly. And then also anything that you want to share with us as you're kind of thinking about, you know, what you're planning to do with this role. So, and then we'll open it up to the board.
Sure. Thanks, President Sweeney.
And Whitney, please call me Whitney.
The enthusiasm is mutual. I'm very excited to not only be in the position, but to be your executive secretary and working with Jenna to ensure that ultimately this board is in the best position to make reasonable, sensible decisions that impact in a very positive way kids. So I thought in introducing myself, being that you've probably been given at some point or another, or have seen at least maybe my CV and resume. I don't really want to repeat or sort of just read through it. Rather, frame my explanation around who I am as it ties to my leadership style, my priorities, and how those experiences have influenced the way I think as now Secretary of Ed. So, and I'll start perhaps with the fact that I'm a public school product. I graduated from Concord High School. One of the things I said this morning in the Newcastle County Combined Boards breakfast meeting was, this was a tagline I used to use during referendum, so Dr. Noble might remember it as a board member in Brandywine. I have an older brother and sister who I'm very close with and both very successful. My brother's a Sally's grad. My sister is a Padua grad. My parents ran out of patience and money, and so I ended up graduating public from Concord High School, and I'm the one with a doctorate here and now Secretary of Ed. So I'm a public school advocate at heart, but I think those experiences, having been in the parochial setting and having a family that sought different options for different kids, is important. That helps frame your thinking in education. So at the end of the day, I don't care what school a student sits in. Important thing is that they graduate with options to do or become whatever they want to become. So after graduating from college, my first teaching position was in the Colonial School District. After 3 years there, moved to the Brandywine School District, where I taught for a few more years before becoming assistant principal at Concord High School, which is my alma mater. And then I went from the most northern school, high school in the state of Delaware, which is right on the Pennsylvania line, to the most southern school right on the Maryland line, which is where I met Vice President Brittingham, and that's in Delmar. So if you're not familiar, at the time, Delmar was a 6-12 building. I believe now it's 5-12. And that was my first principalship. I was there for 3 years, had an amazing experience, and left Delmar, which is where I met my wife. So of course, I consider it to be wonderful luck and a great experience, but a great educational experience for me. Really grew a lot there as a leader, and went back to Concord High School as principal, and my two nephews were there in school there at the time. I was there for 4 years. While I was there, Concord benefited in many ways from school choice in Delaware. About a third of our population for the majority of the time I was principal was, were students who were choosing into that building. And most of those students were very strong academically and very involved either in the arts or athletics, et cetera. And so they really added a lot to the school climate and culture. With that said, I also recognized that the schools they were coming from were at a loss with them not being there. So I share that because I think it all frames the way, as now I'm in this position as Secretary of Ed sort of think about things and where they stand and what we might be able to do to improve outcomes for all kids. It's not a position or anything on choice. It's just a fact, right? After 4 years at Concord High School's principal, I became superintendent in Brandywine and did that for just about 10 and a half years. And 2 years ago, retired very early from Brandywine and went to work for the University of Delaware and Delaware Academy for School Leadership, which turned out in terms of preparation for this particular job to be a wonderful move. Not only did I get to understand a little bit about higher ed, it afforded me the opportunity to learn a lot about leadership coaching. It required me to go from doing executive work to actually understanding exactly how to use a lot of different programs and documents. I became an expert. I went from knowing nothing about Google Suite and how to use Google Slides and Docs to being a borderline expert, which I think is important, right? And so, and a lot of other things, of course, I did in that position. I handled a couple of superintendent searches for the Lake Forest School District and the Christina School District. So I worked with those two boards very closely about 18 months ago or so. Did a lot of other things that had me, because of COVID, a lot of it was virtual, but there was about a 6 month period there over the past year where I was able to be in schools an awful lot. So I was in buildings from Laurel School District to Woodbridge to Milford to Caesar Rodney to Appaquinimic to Brandywine, Red Clay, Christina, Newcastle County VOTEC, working with principals, in some cases principals and their teams, assistant principals, superintendents, coaching. And it helped me establish relationships that I didn't already have, but also exposed me to the many challenges that schools are facing. In the normal educational landscape, the everyday challenges, but especially the challenges that our schools, our educators have faced during this pandemic. And so moving into this position, I would just end with, I think I'm pretty well rounded in understanding pre-K through 12. I'm really having this runway of 3 months from the governor's announcement to the actual confirmation allowed for me to hone in on things such as early childhood, prenatal through 5 years old, which is not my area of expertise, but I need to grow in that area. So I spent some time in meeting with early childhood providers, finding out as much as I possibly could directly from them, and meeting with other people who have advocates who have spent their career supporting preschool programming and early childhood initiatives. And then at the other end, adult education. So I had a conversation with a small group of superintendent leads earlier in the week. They invited me, one of them rather invited me, it was Amelia Hodges in Polytech, invited me to spend some time there looking at their adult ed program. And again, while I'm familiar with it, adult ed in Delaware, there's an awful lot I have to learn, and there's no better way to learn it than touring it and talking with adult students who are in programs and such. And then the other piece would be our prison education programming. I really need to dig into that. So I enter the work recognizing that if anyone tells you they're an expert in something, they're probably not. I'm willing to learn and grow. And on a final note, in terms of my leadership style, I like to be well informed. So when I make a decision, I tend to be decisive, but not before collecting all of the data and information I need to help me make a decision that will likely stick. And on occasion, when it doesn't, I like to think I'm not one of those leaders who makes the mistake of digging in just because. And rather, I'm willing to sort of step back and say, didn't have this information at the time. Maybe I need to reconsider. And so I hope that you find the way in which I operate in supporting you is not only positive, well received, but allows for you to operate as a board at the highest level possible. So I'll stop there and answer any questions that you might have.
You know, 2 years in, and you would think I still sometimes forget to take myself off mute, but that was great. So thank you. I know I speak for myself when I say I know I'm really looking forward to working with you, and some of the things you said really resonated. I personally graduated from Newark High School a long time ago, but is the fact that you care about data and really use a lot of information, I think that's going to really resonate from our board perspective. I know we ask a lot of questions, and the more information that we have, the better we can make decisions. So, really welcome that and second that thought. Now I'm going to open it up to the rest of the board. I know I've had the chance to speak with you already. Looking forward to doing a lot more than that. But I'm going to open it up if anyone from a board perspective has any questions or comments.
This is Candace Pfeiffer. First, I just want to say I apologize that my video isn't on. I can't seem to figure out why, and I didn't want to hang up and figure it out. So I apologize, but I wanted to say I'm really looking forward to working with you, and I'm excited that you are going to be joining us in this adventure. So I loved everything that you said. So welcome.
Thank you, Candace. Nice to meet you.
It's Wendy Turner, Dr. Halidick. I just want to say hi. So nice to see you again after your time in Brandywine. And also, we connected when you were at UD. So it's just wonderful to see you here again. And your comments were really helpful, insightful, and exciting to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Wendy. So I can't help myself that, you know, I have not just knowledge of, but relationships with a number of you, one of which is Wendy. And I feel like Wendy and I sort of entered our positions in Brandywine simultaneously. I was a brand new superintendent when Wendy was doing her student teaching at Mount Pleasant Elementary under Courtney Fox. And this is a true story. Courtney, when she introduced me to Wendy, said, "She's amazing. She's the best student teacher I've ever had. You gotta get her." So, you know, here I am, this, you know, green superintendent. I'm being told by a recent state teacher of the year, I've got to hire this person. So the next year, Wendy was hired. Little to do with me, everything to do with the job that you did as a student teacher. And then, of course, everyone knows, I think Wendy turned out to be just an amazing classroom teacher and leader, teacher leader, quite frankly, in her building and across the state and now nationally, and as state teacher of the year, which opened the door to a lot of opportunities for her to be exposed in terms of her leadership. So Wendy, thank you. Great to work with you again.
This is Shelby Ferris. I'm the student representative, and I just wanted to say welcome from the previously newest member on the board.
Nice to meet you, Shelby. Shelby, what school do you attend?
Currently, I attend Pox Charter School in Camden.
Very good. Well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Dr. Halidick, this is Wally Rushdan. I just wanted to briefly also say welcome. It's great to see you. One of the things that was really important to me as a non-education professional when I joined this board was the importance of the intersection between community and what goes on outside of the four walls of the school building and how it impacts the educational environment and the achievement of our kids. And an environment that I first met you in was an environment that was specifically relating to that intersection through the Raising Kings Conference and your commitment through the resources in your district to make sure that that community program and its impact was delivered in the best way possible. So I'm really excited about knowing your orientation in that regard and seeing how you use that to tackle some of the big issues that we have in front of us that really rely on that intersection between what goes on outside of the classroom and how we make impact on educational outcomes. So looking forward to working with you, and congrats again on your confirmation.
Thank you, Wally.
Mark, I'd like to welcome you to the board. I'm really appreciative of you being in this position at this point. I just want to share with the board, as you know, I was on the Brandywine board when Mark was the superintendent, and He was a wonderful facilitator and supporter of the board's efforts. I think he was he helped inform us and keep us apprised of many things going on in the district, and was, I think, pretty good at balancing a board that was not always in agreement with one another. We had quite a diverse group of people on that board, and he was excellent in steering us in, I think, in very good direction. So I'm looking forward to working with you again, and welcome to this position. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Audrey.
Mark, this is Vince Lofink following up very briefly. I was very impressed with the Senate committee hearing. I felt I got to know a lot more about you based on that hearing alone. I thought maybe they were going to be a little tougher on you. You just handled them perfectly. Do you have any tips for how you did that, or how you pulled that off?
Well, I'll credit the governor's office and staff. They not only prepped me, but part of the process is calling all of the senators beforehand and having, you know, pretty detailed conversations. So the process was fantastic. But thank you. I appreciate the compliment, Vince, and look forward to working with you again and getting to know you better.
Congratulations, Mark. I look forward to working with you again. You were great in Del Mar. You've come a long way since, and I really am looking forward to working with you through public education. I think you picked a couple of tough years to come into, but I think you're the person who can do it for us. And again, thank you. It's good to be working with you again.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate it.
Any other questions?
Secretary Holledick, this is Reverend Powell. I also want to echo my congratulations to you on your nomination and your confirmation. Your background, your history that you shared with us gave me a greater perspective of your background and where you have come and how you've been grounded in the public educational system. My question to you, and it might be too premature for you, maybe being 2 days on the job, but in terms of priorities, and you're looking at, you know, where we are in the COVID environment and where we are in education and your leadership training. And I'm sure before you were approached for your nomination, you had some idea of what you would like to accomplish maybe in the first maybe 100 days, or, you know, just what would you really like to focus on initially? What would be your priorities?
Thank you, Reverend Powell. Great question. And I actually have been on the job for 4 days, so I feel like I have plenty of time to think, you know, craft that, the answer to that question. Now, when you take any job, let alone one like this, you should be able to articulate what you want to accomplish right away. And of course, in this case, with what we're currently facing, it's you know, first and foremost, we have to continue to do anything and everything we can to support our educators in our schools who are doing the really hard work. I mean, this, people say, you know, oh my gosh, this job is so hard. It pales. And I say this in all honesty, it pales in comparison to the kind of work that Wendy Turner and the thousands of teachers across Delaware are dealing with right now. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I have 2 children who are in public schools in Delaware. I've seen what they've dealt with over the past 2 years, going from remote learning to in-person to remote. My wife's a reading specialist at Rehoboth Elementary. Last year, she actually pivoted over first grade remote and started with over 35 kids in her class. So I heard about it firsthand. I watched her teach on occasion from home. Most of the time she was in her office, reading specialist office, teaching first grade remote. And kudos, you know, to the district and colleagues there. They were all very supportive of one another. But at the end of the day, it's just incredibly hard work. And so that, combined with, of course, the realities of this pandemic and the seriousness of it. I mean, I can't put it. It has strained every family in some way, right? And you know, we have to do what we need to do over the course of, at minimum, I'm thinking the next couple of months to mitigate spread. We have to encourage vaccinations. We have to strongly encourage, well, currently we have to continue masking. And at some point, we will likely have to move over to encouraging. I have no idea when that will be, likely be involved in that decision. But, and quite frankly, I hope that comes sooner than later, right? I mean, I'm hopeful that brighter days are ahead. You know, there is some data out there that is rather positive about the peak, et cetera. With that said, I don't think we can allow for pure optimism and a little bit of data to, you know, lead to, you know, some kind of anticipated change until it's more consistent and those data points are telling us something over time that allows for us to start thinking about, you know, maybe by spring break, a different atmosphere within our schools. So I am the ultimate optimist and am very hopeful that that those brighter days are coming. And for some reason in my mind, I'm looking at spring break. We've got to get there and hopefully the numbers look a whole lot better. Whether that be the case or not in this position, it'll be my job to monitor the data, work with DPH, work with the governor's office, work with my team, work with DSEA and others to hear what's happening anecdotally, to continue to get numbers directly from some of our superintendents, letting me know how many substitutes, as an example, each day are needed throughout the district. That's the kind of data that a lot of people have no idea superintendents are using to make decisions, right? So to answer your question, Reverend, number one, the pandemic. We need to continue to be on top of it. And I can't help but give a shout out to the Deputy Secretary, who I'm sure you all know, Christina Loyes, has just done an amazing job. And much thanks to my predecessor, Secretary Bunting, for the job, of course, that she did in transforming the Department of Ed into this support organization that has done so much, not just through the pandemic, but over the course of the last 5 years, and really set the stage for me to be able to come in with my style and do some other things. So much thanks to both of them and everyone at DOE who is also working very hard. So the pandemic, on top of the pandemic, I think we have to look at the way in which we are going to more effectively support those students who have struggled the most, not only through the pandemic, but even before that. I think the pandemic has exposed some things to many people who just weren't aware of what we have all been calling either the achievement gap or the opportunity gap over many years, right? So I'm guessing most, if not all of you, have been keenly aware of these discrepancies in terms of opportunities and outcomes within schools in Delaware and in the United States, right? Well, the pandemic has, I use the word exposed, this issue. And I would like to think that with ESSER funds and with opportunity funds, and ESSER planning with what you're gonna hear about in just a little while, the Wilmington Learning Collaborative and some of the strategies that will be utilized, I would hope in that plan to address things such as teacher recruitment and retention and getting kids involved in before, especially after, and weekend activities in those high need schools, focusing on reading, especially by third grade, math, science, as well as social studies. You know, I'm kind of jumping around here, Reverend, so I apologize, but I'm excited also about things such as House Bill 198 that was passed last year, where we're finally owning the fact that we really haven't we haven't accurately taught American history. And until you're actually teaching American history accurately, it's really hard to address some of these social justice type issues with transparency, honesty, integrity, and courage. And so I'm hopeful that tied into the accurate teaching of African-American history, we also will move the needle on cultural competency and relevancy. So I'm jumping around a bit. Those are the things that immediately strike me in terms of, and maybe the last one, and there are an array of other, you know, topics, but early childhood, there's a vacancy on the cabinet right now in early childhood, and that will be a priority, identifying the next statewide leader around prenatal through 5 years old in terms of supporting preschool programming and ensuring that our youngest learners have what they need to succeed, which I think if we do really well, helps us address this third grade reading issue. I don't think we can wait until kindergarten to start with interventions. And so, you know, on the topic of interventions, we've done a fabulous job, RTI, and implementing a lot of different interventions in schools to really transform the system. It's going to take more than interventions. It's going to take systems changes. And I think that's a strength of mine. And I look forward to working with charter leaders and superintendents to change systems that impact kids. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Not bad for 4 days.
Thank you.
Not bad at all.